As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
There's a lead pass in on Bo McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada!
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field, going back. Marquise Grissom. He's got it! Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They score! Duclair! 1-0! 23 seconds in. Canada jumps on top.
Here's the 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ball game in the bottom of the ninth inning.
The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions.
And now, here's your host, Elliot Price.
The last month or so has been most un-Carrie-like, and last night was off the charts. Hey, it's tough being Carey Price. You are expected to be otherworldly, always. They would take you before Sidney Crosby. You could lead a Pee-wee B team to the NHL playoffs, or was that something they say you've already done? His save percentage since December, and especially after the 7-goal net filler last night, has easily been near the league's worst. Granted, that's not the flying Frenchman that have toiled in front of him, but still, that's also not Carey Price, best goaltender in the world, although there have been gushed up to ever, greatest ever. What's wrong with the guy? Probably nothing, although this will bear watching, as though we were going to stop watching. He is paired with one, if not the best goaltending coaches in Stefan Waite, so they'll video it and figure it out, right? The big hullabaloo last night, of course, was Carey staying in for all 7 Wild goals. Play the third. Price was asked to stay on, but let's not get carried away with character and leadership here. First off, the guy's already got that in spades, and he did ask to stay in. He certainly owed one to his backup after the Columbus debacle, and he was as bad as anyone else last night. Why taint someone else with that bad smell? Just shower, try to wash it all off, and move on. Good call on all fronts. Now, wherever you are, Carey Price, time to return to duty. You were looking for Grant Robinson. Where were you?
I'm right here.
No,
I'm looking from here.
You will never be Grant Robinson, good or bad.
The question is, do I want to be Grant
Robinson?
That's not
the question. The question is, are you Grant Robinson?
No.
So the question once again becomes, where are you? Grant not with us tonight. He'll be back on Monday. And so Freddie's sitting in a very, very difficult spot, trying to up his last performance here. And so that is...
It's going to be very difficult.
It's a tall call. Right. What's on your mind, Freddie? You have a good week. I know that you're...
Yeah, look, I'm still getting over my back injury. I feel like an athlete. I'm on the, I'm day to day. I'm getting over it. That's really been, like, I haven't had a lot of, you know. I'm looking forward to the weekend. I'm looking forward to these divisional NFL games.
Yep.
I'm looking most especially, coming for me, it's not a surprise, the Aussie Open. The Australian Open.
Well, I guess you're looking forward to talking to Stephanie Miles. Oh. She'll join us from Australia. Of course, she joins us from Oz. She joins us from Paris. She joins us from Wimbledon. And she joins us from New York. Oh. And, of course, here when the Rogers Cup is going on in Montreal. So, Stephanie, from Australia, coming up 45 minutes. Steph will be with us. Looking forward to that. We'll also talk hockey with Kyle Bukauskas. Is there anything wrong with Carey Price? He's not supposed to be not the greatest. So Kyle, ringside reporter for Habs Games, he will join us. And also DK, yep, divisional playoffs. Who's got the pressure on them? We'll find out. Actually, eight teams have the pressure on them. I mean, everyone wants to put it on one guy. It's always got more pressure than the other guy. But you got the ball? Pressure's on you, baby. So eight teams looking to make it four teams and get to the conference championships. All that and the opening faceoff, which is coming up next. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight. I'm Elliot Price.
The final buzzer. Two glorious points. You leap from your couch, chest bump the mirror, and go to bed. You call that winning? Ye Olde Orchard Pub begs to differ. Get the game with the energy and excitement it deserves at your friendly neighborhood Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With over 20 beers on tap, over 40 single malts, 6 locations, and a full house of fans like yourself. There's no reason to spend another game night lonely. Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay. Visit yeoldorchardpub.com or find them on Facebook.
Say goodbye to buffering, stuttering, and annoying pop-ups. Say hello to Sportsnet Now, a new way to stream sports without cable TV. Matchups from the MLB, NBA, and the NHL. And more of your favorite Sportsnet programming. Plus, watch every Blue Jays game on any device in true high definition. Your sports, your way, starts now. Visit sportsnet.ca/now to start your free trial.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening faceoff with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Tonight, sitting in for Grant Robinson, Freddie Iuni.
Bo Jackson told USA Today Sports that he would never have played football if he had known more about the injury risks. Elliot, what are your thoughts, not only about his comments, but maybe more the future of the game in North America?
Well, I've said it many times. I am happy that my child plays basketball and baseball. So the two most common North American contact sports where you have an opportunity to bang your head somewhere, hockey and football, he doesn't play. He played 2 years of football, and that was before full contact. They played flag football, and for some reason, they grab you. They want you. You have to play. You've got to be available. So if you want to play baseball, you can't play football. If you want to play football, you can't play baseball. He chose baseball over football. Mm-hmm. And I suppose somewhere along the way, we would have steered him in another direction. So Bo Jackson probably would have been one of the best baseball players of all time if he had gone through with what he says now, and I completely agree with him.
So would you discourage?
Yes.
Totally.
Totally.
Would you ever encourage someone to play football?
No.
Never?
No.
It's interesting for me. I read the article today, and I then found on a website, on vocative.com, that there was a study that since 2010, there has been a decrease of nearly 28% enrollment in youth football in the U.S. Age 6 to 14. So I don't know what that says necessarily about the future of the game.
Well, it first of all, it tells you that there'll be less talent. What it also tells you is that the talent in baseball and basketball is about to jump. Because there's some tremendous athletes that aren't going to be playing football. Many athletes in both of those sports lost to football.
Right.
And so now they'll be playing baseball and basketball. And there has no problem with basketball in the United States, but the enrollment in baseball in the United States has been down over the years, and it'll be interesting to see what the numbers are. By the way, the numbers in hockey in the United States are through the roof. And for the first time ever, I believe they have either equaled or surpassed the numbers in Canada. Of course, let's keep in mind that there's 10 times as many people in the United States. But still, for the first time ever. But it's another game with contact.
So here's a question that's a little derivative of this one with regards to Bo Jackson and, say, having kids play. Elliot, you knowing what the people who out there, the players out there, put their bodies through and the risks they take, should we, I mean, this is a little bit whatever, as a society, maybe reevaluate us putting efforts into that game, watching the game, talking about the game? Is it on us to change that?
It's not going to, no, because what is the end game here? What is it we're trying to change? We're trying to change the fact that we're trying to take head injuries away from football. Is that what we're trying to do?
At the very least.
Never going to happen. So you're either eliminating the game, which is never going to happen.
Right.
Or those go into it now. We're no longer where we were 10, 20 years ago. Okay. We can't have someone play football and say, oh, I didn't know.
Right.
We know. All right, you're going to play football, there's a real good chance. It's not going to be like hockey where some guys, okay, in football, just about everybody is going to have some kind of debilitating head trauma sometime in their lifetime. And so you steer your kids away from it, but it's like boxing. Can we stop boxing? Can we stop MMA? There's still people that are getting hit. There are always people that get hit. It's an opportunity for some people to get out of the life that they would have had a trajectory for. And so there's still going to be people that are going to do that, but there's nothing we can do. There is no way that you can play football and not have your head hit.
Right. No, that you raise a really good point. I find myself, it reminds me of the moment I stopped enjoying hockey fights. When I was, during the lockout, I was living in Calgary at the time, I went to a WHL game, and I saw two kids fighting, and there was a crowd of 15,000 people cheering it, and it occurred to me that this is not right.
You watch boxing?
No.
Do you watch MMA?
No.
Okay. So then I'm good with you.
Yeah.
Right? Why would it be okay for those guys to fight and those guys not to fight? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
I understand the problem with people not wanting. I don't think that hockey players should fight, but when I'm watching a hockey game, if they do fight, I'm watching it.
And so am I, and I still watch football. So I say this, that I am also, in some respects, hypocritical of my own thoughts with regards to the matter. All right, moving on.
And I'm sure not the only thing.
Moving on. The Alouettes, we're sticking with football, but CFL, the Alouettes have acquired the rights to Darren Durant. Does this fix their QB problem, if they are able to sign him?
Well, we'll have to see. Last year, he played behind an offensive line that had a problem. And the fact of the matter is, last year, the Montreal Alouettes had an offensive line that had a problem. So here's the guy that got hurt because he wasn't protected. This is the way it is in football. If you don't protect your quarterback, he's going to get hurt. So the guy is what, like 34 years old?
Yes.
We'll see what he has left in him. He's looking for a 3-year contract. Saskatchewan wouldn't give him the kind of money that he wanted. The Alouettes can.
Would you?
How are you going to put people in the seats if you don't have a quarterback? This team hasn't had a quarterback since Anthony Calvillo.
Right.
I would absolutely give him the money because without a quarterback, again, I have to cross my fingers and hope that he will be the guy to bridge the gap because there has been nobody. And those seats will continue to empty if you don't have a quarterback. So,
got to
find someone.
Do you think that Vernon is the answer? Is the future?
No.
He's not?
I don't know. You asked me, I said no. You said, you asked me again.
If you keep asking me,
I'll change my mind and
I'm
give you a different
answer?
I'm hoping
that's the case, yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Why do
you care? Because it was surprising.
You asked me, do you think he's the future? I said no. You said, really? I went, yes. I mean, come on. I said no. I don't think he's the future.
All right, look.
I could be wrong.
Darren Durant, last year under a poor team in Saskatchewan, only threw for 67% completion rate, only 14 touchdowns, 7 interceptions.
What, he threw for what percentage?
He threw a 67%.
You said only?
Only.
Excuse me?
In the CFL, not good enough, in my opinion. I don't know. I think they need a quarterback, and if he's hotly, you know, wanted, he's got a place, he's got a home here.
All right.
Should Habs fans be worried about Carey Price, Elliot?
No, Habs fans should not be worried about Carey Price, but ask me again in 2 weeks.
So what do you think's the matter with Carey Price? What's going on there? Why is his average, his save percentage, dropped from 936 over the first 24 games, and in the last seven, it's dipped now down to 922? What is going on with Carey Price then?
Okay, first of all, the Canadians have as bad a penalty-killing unit as have as they have had in recent memory.
Right.
So they're making it very difficult for him to stop pucks when the other team has a power play. They're beating him short side, which is kind of rare, and it's something that is easily fixed. He's the best goalie in the world. He has, if not the best, one of the best goalie coaches in the world. And unless the guy's hurt, he will once again be the best goaltender in the world. He's not going to fall off the earth in a matter of December, January. And I've been told that in his career, his goaltending, his save percentage during the month of January is 20 points less than it is the rest of the season.
So this is normal.
Seven goals was not normal.
Eric Engels, in an article on Sportsnet.ca, suggested that it's just simply fatigue. It's simply fatigue for Carey Price. He missed all of last year. He came right back and played into arguably the best hockey he'll play all year, competition-wise.
By the way, Mitchell 68%, Burr 68%, Lule 68%, Masoli 69%, Nichol 69%, Lefebvre 69%, Willie 70%. It's right around...
Rough Riders, 5-13 record.
but you're imagine right. What he had to do to get to 67% with the way that offensive line was a sieve.
No, fair enough. But like you said, if the offensive line here's a sieve, you're still going to go 5-13.
We were past that. Where were
regardless. Okay, so Eric Engel suggests that maybe it's fatigue.
Right.
And if it is fatigue, I have two questions. One, how would you deal with that throughout the rest of the season as a coach? And two, would you suggest to him, maybe don't go to L.A., maybe don't put yourself through another a trip that far twice? Stay home.
Yeah, I would suggest that to him. But what are we talking here? Sitting on an airplane? Because certainly what they'll put him through the All-Star weekend is not back-breaking work over there.
No, but it's not rest. It's not relaxation in any real sense. You're still going to the rink. You're still having to sign autographs. You're still talking to people.
My goodness.
I'm not saying that's...
I'm lifting a pen!
I'm not saying it's a life I wouldn't choose. And I wouldn't choose it for you. But no, would you... So how would you then deal with it as Therrien? For the rest of the year.
You know what? The only way to get yourself back in tune with what's necessary as far as the longevity of a National Hockey League season is concerned, because let's remember, Carey Price's season was cut off early last year, is just to go through it. Okay?
So just keep putting him out there. Put your Habs GM cap on. And I know it's six
in this
weeks
business,
away.
You go to sleep with it on.
There are 20 games till the deadline for the Habs. Okay. The trade deadline is February 28th.
Yes.
For the Habs to make a real run at the Stanley Cup this year, what are their needs?
Number one, the Montreal Canadiens need a second line center.
Okay.
And I would my second choice would be to get a professional defenseman.
I don't know why that struck me as funny. AHLers are professional hockey players.
No.
Well, they are.
I understand. That's not what I'm talking about.
NHL defenseman.
I'm looking at top four. I think that to get both those guys would exceed your salary cap.
Right.
But I would try to have someone take David Desharnais off my hands. You give them something to take it off your hands. He could help a team, but he would give you some salary cap flexibility. His contract ends this year, so no one's taking on something that takes them past this year. If they have room in their salary cap, then you do something for them. And then they open up the possibility of you either having room for more than one player, or now you have room for a better player. Because for the Canadians to actually go out and get a number two center, they're going to have to be able to fit him into the salary cap, and they got to make some room to do that.
Or a top four defenseman. Yep. Are you all in this year? Would you be willing to give up a player like Sergachev?
No.
Say you can figure out the math of it, the cap of it. Would you give up your top
end? No, I wouldn't give up Sergachev.
Or what about any of your top prospects?
I think I would consider just about anybody else. Well, so what are top prospects? I'm not giving them McCarron.
Okay.
I'm not giving them. I would trade Sherbak.
Sherbak.
Yeah. I would...
Lekkonen?
What's that? No, Lekkonen's part of what makes this team better this year.
Okay.
He is a top six forward.
Okay.
Lekkonen is a guy that's going to be someone who is going to be a scorer from him here going for... Guy's got 10 goals. Okay, and I hear some people saying, oh, he's a rookie, he's going to fall off, but he's not a rookie. He's a National Hockey League rookie, but he's been a professional for 3 years already.
Yep.
And this is why he is starting to pick it up right now, because he's not a kid who's coming out of junior hockey.
Right.
That's just marching into the professional ranks for the first time.
And are you extending Radulov at the end of the year?
am I extending him?
Yeah.
You don't extend him. He needs a new contract. You can't extend him. We've talked about this already.
Yep.
I don't think he's going anywhere else. I don't think he wants to go anywhere else. The reason he's a Montreal Canadian is because he wants to be a Montreal Canadian. He had opportunities to go other places for the same reason that Panarin is a Blackhawk.
Yep.
He could have gone wherever he wanted. He went to Chicago because he wanted to be a Hawk. I think this guy wants to be a Montreal Canadian, and I think that there are extenuating circumstances when it comes to the expansion draft that are coming up, where you may need an extra space. Maybe you're not going to sign him right away, that you have a nudge-nudge, wink-wink deal with him. I believe, as nothing is 100%, that is close to that, he's coming back, and he'll be a Montreal Canadian because he likes it here, and he wants to play here. He wants to be a Canadian.
And just one final thing before we're done here. Given the fact that it's difficult to make trades these days in the NHL, if the Habs do absolutely nothing, and we know that their players are coming back, you know, Carey will get back on his game, what are their chances to at least get out of the Eastern Conference?
As long as you have a goaltender like Carey Price who's capable of making miracles, then you can make a miracle.
Okay.
The Montreal Canadiens right now, for some crazy reason, are one of the top scoring teams in the NHL. Okay, and this was the recipe. Okay, look it up, folks. This was the recipe when they won their last two Stanley Cups. You can say what you want about the makeup of those two teams that Patrick Waugh carried them to Stanley Cups, but since 1986, the two top scoring regular season Montreal Canadian teams were those two teams that won the Cup. So when everybody gets together and puts the puck in the net as a group, then you have an opportunity to win if you have a future Hall of Fame goaltender. And that's what they have.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
I had a reminder, we'll talk hockey with Kyle Bukauskas coming up, but just after the 8:30 update. Of course, we'll talk about Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens and stuff like that. Our hockey half hour interrupted by a tennis interview. Why? Because that's when she's available, and she's in Australia. Opencourt.ca. It's Stephanie Miles coming up around 8:50. All right, voices like every other night. Who's in the news? This shouldn't take long. 7 goals, 45 seconds.
Back down low, Christian Farley scores! Charlie Coyle pass across, in and out of there, and Stahl scores! Down low, here's Stewart, up high to the point. Suter across for Spurgeon with a shot, scores! Play, Niederreiter in tight, stop that play, scores! Sends it across, here's Spurgeon, Farley tip scores, Jason Zucker! Gemba across to Suter, scores! Ryan Suter, Ericola off for Niederreiter. Download Ericola. Wrap around attempt. Right in front, they score! Niederreiter! Nino Niederreiter, second of the game, and it's 7-0 Minnesota.
Yeah, Stefan, Wade went and talked. We discussed with the coaching staff, and Stefan, our goalie coach, Wade, had a good talk with him. And Carey wanted to stay there. I respect the decision, and even more, I think I appreciate, you know, the fact that he wanted to stay there. It's one of those nights, you know what, it's a tough night, and we all in this together, and we all suffering tonight as a team. Pretty simple.
I like that, Coach Therrien. So, and the thing is, you know, folks, you're out there, you're a journalist, you're right, you're on the radio, you're on television. Do some damn homework, will you? Still looking this morning, and there's still people out there going, was it right for Therrien to leave his goaltender in? He asked to stay in the game. He is your most important player. He wanted to stay out there with his teammates. There should be no other questions after that, and you should know that before you go forward with whatever it is you are writing, saying, or tweeting. Just saying. Anyway, what I wanted to see was Carey Price be there for the media last night, which he was. My favorite was as he's walking out, right? He skates off the ice, and he gives his stick away. Take this out of my hands. So some kid is in the exit way to the Canadiens dressing room wearing a Montreal Canadiens sweater, right, in Minnesota, and he lifts his stick up and says, here you go. And then he was cool. He was calm. Here he is after the game, facing the music.
You know, we didn't generate much offensively, and they capitalized on just about every opportunity that they had. That pretty much sums it up. Regardless of what the score is in any situation, I just try and focus on my next shot. And, you know, whether it's 7-0 or 1-0 or whatever the score is, it doesn't matter to me. So, you know, it's a very disappointing result, but it's over now, so we move on. You know, it's tough to climb back from a 3-0 game lead against a team like that. You know, they played very well structurally, and you had to tip your hat to them. I'd rather just stick it out. You know, nobody else has the opportunity to get pulled from the game, so I'd rather just stick it out with everybody else.
There you go. Good attitude. Carey Price sticking it out. We'll see what happens. He gives up 7 to the Rangers tomorrow night. I don't think he'll have the same attitude, but I don't think he's given up 7 to the Rangers tomorrow night. Your Carey Price has come back strong, and I expect that he will be the man tomorrow night. Taylor Hall returned to Edmonton last night. The elbow, he wasn't exactly picking spots, right? It's Cassian that he goes after. So what's the deal there? What's going on? Here's Elliot Friedman.
To me, what that showed was, okay, so a couple of weeks ago, Colorado goes into Calgary, and Jerome Iginla starts a fight with Mark Giordano, and you're kind of like, okay, what's the relationship between those two that Iginla would feel the need to do that? And then, you know, you knew that Hall and some of his ex-teammates didn't have a great relationship. Okay, I guess one of those was Cassian, because Hall made a point of going after him. And I think the other thing there, too, guys, is that I think Taylor Hall is really frustrated. And I think the thing that hurts him the most about all this is that he gets traded, and now he's sitting here, and New Jersey is out of the playoffs in the NHL's toughest division, and Edmonton, after all that losing while he's there with them, they're in the playoffs right now. And I think that just eats him alive.
Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, on the Taylor Hall elbow on Zach Cassian. All right. And finally, we'll hear this interview later on in the show. Mark Shapiro, he is the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. And there's a lot going on right now. I mean, they are not ready for the season. They got plenty of holes to fill. But as I said, these are my words, okay? Here's the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays.
We're still 5 weeks away from, you know, saying that we're heading to spring training and we're getting ready to actually go. And in that short period of time, there's still a lot that's going to be done, you know, with the Toronto Blue Jays before we're a finished team.
He doesn't have to put out a lineup today. Okay, it's in the rules. All right? Opening day. You have to have a lineup for Major League Baseball. What about Jose Bautista? Now, there have been, like, we ran them both the other day, right? Some guys had him as at the top of the Blue Jays list now, and other people said they have moved on. We heard from John Heyman yesterday. Well, Mark Shapiro?
No, I mean, I would just say that, you know, we clearly need a corner outfielder, right? And Jose is probably the most talented one out there as far as offensive production goes and pedigree and track record. And then on top of that, he's got a premium in this marketplace because of, you know, what he's meant to this franchise over the last 8 seasons and who he is in this market and the impact he's made in the community here. So you take all those things up, and for me not to say he would be a good alternative for us for next year would be a mistake. So, I mean, I think he's among the alternatives. He's certainly, if not the best, one of the best.
You wanna go? I'm going to some place
All right, there you go. Mark Shapiro and the full interview, a lot more to talk about the bullpen, what happened with Edwin Encarnacion. You'll hear all that with Jeff Blair and Stephen Brunt just after 9:30. Get you an update in just a moment. Washington 3, Chicago nothing. And Beagle scores? Yeah. Yeah. When Washington played Chicago last time, Beagle scored twice. He's got 7 goals. He's got like, what, 42.9% of them against the Chicago Stop! Stop that guy!
It's lucky they won't be able to meet in the playoffs unless they're in the finals, so they don't have to worry about him.
We'll get you an update, and we'll talk to Kyle Bukauskas. He's coming up, the ringside reporter on Canadiens games. Habs back home. Man, they went on that long road trip. They came home for one, they went away for another two. I think they played 8 games in 13 days. How wouldn't they be tired? Not just the goaltender. Habs coming up. Update in just a moment.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, Sportsnet Tonight. Talking hockey. You know, the home team in red, white, and blue.
And time for Kyle Bukauskas, who joins us, I don't know, Thursdays or Friday, but he joins us, right? When he's not doing the game. Guy works his ass off. He's under pretty much the same ridiculous travel schedule as the Montreal Canadiens. Carey Price is exhausted, but Kyle is on the show. Hey? Kyle, how you doing?
Good. I'm a little exhausted. I'm happy to be on, as always.
I know.
What's going on?
I don't think people realize that this affects the media, too, because it's not as... I know that the wearing on the body is... part of it is being out there on the ice, but if it was just being out there on the ice, guys would be okay. It really is the ridiculous travel schedule when you pack it all up, when you're on the plane, and on to the next city, and going to practice, and I know you're tired now, but man, when the season ends, that's when you really feel it.
Yeah, you know, we've made the comment amongst the group there a few times. You know, we stand there in the lobby of the hotel or wherever we are off to our next city, and we're like, man, we're tired. Man, tired. We're not even playing. We're not even playing the game.
Yeah.
These guys have got to go out and perform and produce night after night, and we just get to sit around and talk in microphones, so I think it's a lot less strenuous than playing in the National Hockey League. I think, anyways. I'm pretty sure.
No.
It's been crazy. It's unbelievable. The way it's all kind of molded together, and we're kind of in a stretch here now over the next couple of weeks where it seems like we travel, and then we do a game, then you travel, and then you do a game, then you travel, and then you do a game, and then until you get to the All-Star break, and then you get right up again, and you get right back at it. So it's been a lot of fun. As I've mentioned a number of times, it's great to be out and be on the road with these guys and to see it up close in different cities and to experience different markets. But certainly you got to get your sleep if you can, because it takes a toll on the body. Absolutely.
All right. You're going to have to talk to people off the ledges here with Carey Price. We're looking at his splits, all right? In December, save percentage 899. In January, 877. So I'm thinking somewhere in the 89s, which is not Carey Price's career. Although January has not been kind to him through his career. So what do we have on our hands when it comes to Carey Price?
Well, yeah, maybe a bit. Well, I guess a bit of fatigue. I mean, he's admitted as much, and when you consider how little he played and the rehabbing that went on a year ago, and to then jump right back into things in September at the highest level of hockey that you really could experience with the World Cup, and then to go right into the season, and I don't think he would ever admit this, and who knows how much of it plays into a factor, but you got to think as a new parent, there's nights where you're probably not sleeping as much as you would wish because you now have a new baby at home that you have to take care of, and that's part of it as well, I'm sure, just part of everyday life, but there's new things that go on a day-to-day basis that wouldn't beforehand for Carey Price, and I'm sure that kind of compounds things as well, and just getting back in, I think, every other night, and you know, you look at the workload that he's had versus Al Montoya has only started 12 games this year. And especially when you consider Price missed the first three, four games of the season with that flu, It's been a really, really heavy workload for him. And then on top of that, you know, it could be a guy who's just in the bit of a funk. The tough part is that the bar has been set so high for him, the numbers that he's put up the last 2 years and the performances that he's had. I mean, everyone expects these unbelievable numbers. And when they dip below that for any extended period of time, everyone starts kind of questioning what's going on. Has he lost it? Do we need to be concerned here? What's next? What's wrong with Carey Price? And, you know, I think I'm sure it's just getting used to, again, playing every other night and the workload that comes with being in the National Hockey League. And this season in particular, as we talked about a number of times, how condensed the schedule seems and everything that comes along with it. And this is a guy that obviously he knows what it takes to win the NHL, and he's proven it time and time again. I don't think there's really any reason to concern. This is just a bit of a funk. I think the fact that there's that going on, that maybe he hasn't put up the best numbers, the best nights that we have come so accustomed and so used to seeing, and the fact that this team can still find ways to get results, albeit it didn't happen last night in Minnesota. But for the most part, they've still played some pretty darn good hockey in front of them, even if he may not be at his best. And then, you know, we'll go back to almost a week ago in Toronto, where he gave up 3-4 goals, and yet still he made some big saves in the third period when he needed to keep the Leafs from making one final push to get the game tied and then maybe push for overtime. And beyond that, he's still there when he needs them to be, and I think this is just kind of a bit of a funk right now. I don't see it being a real cause for concern at all, guys.
Kyle, Freddie here. What does it say that Price wanted to be out there with the team, given what was going on in the game last night, for team morale, team unity, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, I think that's just it's a really good example. If those were wondering, like it's a perfect example of what kind of teammate this guy is. I mean, obviously, if we didn't know already, we have learned this year that this is someone who does not like to get pulled from a hockey game. And the fact that they had that conversation with them between Michel Therrien and Stefan Waite in the intermission about taking him out and giving him the rest of the night off, and the fact that he said, no, look, no one else from this team gets to get pulled here tonight, so, you know, why should I? You'd rather just stick it out. And you know, perhaps another part of that, too, he may have looked at a guy like Al Montoya who played the night before and said, you know, I'm not going to make him go again like consecutive nights and give him a bit of a break as well. And I think that just speaks to what kind of teammate he is and why his teammates revere him even more so or beyond what he does on the ice. I think just who he is as a person and as a teammate, I think that certainly speaks volumes, because it was an ugly night and it was an easy night for someone like him to say, you know what, get me out of here. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. They're on the road. It's a loud building there in Minnesota. At some points, you kind of heard the Carey jeers go on from the Minnesota faithful, and it could have been very easy for someone like him to say, I've had enough of this, and no one would have questioned him at that point for doing it. But he said, you know what, this is something that I would rather just stick out with my teammates, and he did that, and it ended up being a very tough night for the entire team. But it's something that you know, they went down together, if you will. And I'm sure that, I know Michel Therrien said as much after the game, and then if the, you know, you got teammates that respect him even more so than they did already. So it was certainly a pretty good sign or a good piece of insight into what this guy is beyond playing in between the pipes night after night. He's much more than that, and he's just a pretty darn good teammate, and I'm sure the guys in the locker room really appreciate what he did there, sticking in for the entire 60 minutes, even though it didn't seem anything was going their way last night against the Wild.
With Kyle Bukauskas, who joins us once a week, one of our Habs insiders, ringside reporter during Montreal Canadiens games on Sportsnet. You know, the Canadiens had built up an incredible cachet of points in a time when not that much was expected. Let's face it, this team has been running out a whole bunch of American Hockey League players, up to like more than a handful. And so all the points that you got during that time kind of make up for a night or two like the one you had last night, and players will be on their way back now. So all the guys that came, you're the general manager. Who'd you like to keep? Who's coming back? Who's a National Hockey League player that you'd love to stay in the lineup right now?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Did you see the graphic we threw up there in the game last night, the fake Johns Bunch It took a page.
Yeah, that was a good one.
There with all the faces there.
Yeah.
That was credit to producer Scott Lennox and Jason York coming up with that one.
Yeah, nice job. Eric retweeted it today on Twitter. Eric Engels put it up
there.
Yeah,
that's right. That's great that he gave it there some love, too. Like, so hopefully anyone's listening got to see it anyway. I just kind of kicked out of that one. But, you know what? It's a really good question because there's been guys, I mean, they kind of bounce in and out of the lineup, you know. I mean, I thought Nikita Scherbak, I mean, that was great when his first game against the NHL goal, and then he tapers off a little bit after the fact. Daniel Carr is a guy who's kind of been around throughout most of the year, and he's been doing some good things here and there. I think Ryan Johnson on the back end, he hasn't really been caught in too many less than ideal situations. He hasn't put himself in many bad spots or any, you know, goaling errors. I think he did a pretty good job just on the back end being that sixth defenseman and just, you know, not being noticed. That's almost kind of what you want as that third pairing defenseman, is not be noticed as making a mistake and just going out there and doing your job properly. And he seemed to be doing a decent job of that. It was certainly, you know, it was impressive for this hockey team. As you mentioned, the fact that they just kind of wanted, the expectation was to not fall off a cliff, was to not really taper off, and they did much beyond that, and they still have a very, very comfortable lead atop the Atlantic Division right now, and now they're starting to get some healthy bodies back. That's certainly a very good sign for them now, and you just look at the job that guys like, again, Flip Danault and Brian Flynn, Torrey Mitchell, guys that are playing out of their element, up higher in the depth chart, more minutes in situations they're not normally accustomed to, that they weren't expected to play in when the season started, and they managed to have some pretty good results and have some success in those roles. I think it certainly speaks to, again, the depth of this hockey club has, and now they've got some healthy bodies back. You know, it'll be interesting to see where they kind of go from there and who kind of moves back down and what the lineup kind of looks like tomorrow night, because as you said, with a couple of guys being sent back to St. John, all signs are pointing towards some healthy bodies back in the lineup for the Habs tomorrow night against the Rangers.
Always great talking to you, Kyle Bukauskas. Hey, Kyle, take the rest of the day off.
I wish I could. I got a game to get ready for tomorrow.
All right. Don't take the rest of the day off. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Sounds good, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Kyle Bukauskas.
I just realized that Carey Price took his own advice that he gave to Hellebuck the night before.
Oh,
that's what happened.
Yeah, well,
that's
talked
what
about happened. That. Oh, that's right. I had a couple of tweets I thought are pretty funny. One of them is, I hope Marty St. Louis throws a fit and demands a trade to a different retirement ceremony. I like that one. And Josh Donaldson, the MVP from a year ago from the Toronto Blue Jays, played golf today with our Brooke Henderson. And he tweets a picture of himself with Brooke. Enjoyed the round with Brooke Henderson today. She is a cold-blooded sweetheart. Whipped me all day and then just smiled. She can play that girl, I'm telling you. All right, so there you go. Great talking to Kyle. And so don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. Montreal Canadiens. Rangers tomorrow night. And they're playing tonight, so that's good. Mm-hmm. So the Canadiens this time, it's terrible. You're on the road. The other team gets here first, which is not usually a bad thing when it's Montreal. Gives them an opportunity to get out of sorts, if you know what I mean. But they'll be coming in late, and the Canadiens get them tomorrow night. And the Leafs, at last count, had a 2-1 lead in that game against the Rangers. 3-1 now?
Mm-hmm, that's
3-1
right.
For the Leafs over the Rangers. We'll keep you up to date on that. All right, we're going to Australia. Very expensive for some people. Cheap for us. We'll talk to opencourt.ca's Stephanie Miles. What's going on? The first big tennis tournament of the year getting underway. That coming up in just a moment.
Say goodbye to buffering, stuttering, and annoying pop-ups. Say hello to Sportsnet now, a new way to stream sports without cable TV. Matchups from the MLB, NBA, and the NHL. And more of your favorite Sportsnet programming. Plus, watch every Blue Jays game on any device in true high definition. Your sports, your way, starts now. Visit sportsnet.ca/now to start your free trial.
Another great year at Windmill Heights Golf Club. More work done as the course gets better and better. And more improvements on the way for 2017. Family owned with an ear to their members. You have a suggestion, they'll listen, but chances are they already know. they play their own course. Golf too expensive? Not this year. Call Windmill Heights Golf Club and we'll make it work. I love the ease of travel, the food, and the fact that they won't ask me for more money when the season's over. Great food, great golf, great price, great members. Call Lino Carboni, 514-453-7177, extension 3. 514-453-7177, extension 3. They're creating something special at Windmill Heights Golf Club.
Listen for the Muscle Milk Performers of the Day, brought to you by Muscle Milk. Whether you're an elite athlete or strive to maintain an active lifestyle, Muscle Milk helps provide post-workout protein to help you finish every workout right. Be your best, but better. Be strong, recover faster, fuel up, and succeed. With Muscle Milk, every day is game day. Find Muscle Milk at your local convenience store. Better than yesterday, every day, with Muscle Milk.
Hey man, got a big box of porn for you.
Yes!
Got to get on that.
You guys are so up your asses. Scumbag, ask it, huh?
That's how you talk?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
You freaking idiot!
You do not take a tone with me, because I will give you a rap right on the Jack Johnson.
Let's dance, dickweed.
That's what I'm talking about!
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with your host, Elliot Price.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
Know what I'm saying?
All right, Stephanie Miles coming right up from Australia. What time is it there, do you know?
16 hours ahead.
16 hours ahead. So that would make it 4:52.
Stephanie, I think
it would be 12:52. 24:52.
Is it 16 hours?
Oh, she's
ahead?
There. What do you got to jump on me? I had it. Just at 16 hours day, 24:52. That's
20:52.
In my it's not. 16 and 8 is 24, which makes it after 12.
Yeah, but 12:52. 8 is 20. If you do it,
don't make me come over there, Freddie. We can just argue, and like she'll be in Australia, and we won't talk to her at all, and that'll be that. Hey, Steph, how are you?
Bye. How you doing?
We're doing all right. We're doing okay. I don't know. It's not, you know, weather-wise, it ain't what you got over there, but you don't even notice the weather, right, because you're too busy running around.
Well, I notice it today because one of the things that the fans love when they come to a tennis tournament, especially Australia when it's hot, is all the hot shirtless guys practicing. Well, it's really chilly today, so everybody's got every layers on, and so I think that the fans are not getting their money's worth, and, you know, that's a darn shame.
All right. I have with me a tennis aficionado.
I wish. So, well, Stephanie's on, so yes.
What do you mean? You're not an aficionado? You don't love tennis?
I love
tennis. Say you were an expert. I said you were a fan.
Yeah, no, I...
Yeah, no?
Big fan.
Which is it? Is he?
I don't know, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I'm curious as to what you think, how you think our Canadians will do this year. Raonic fell in Brisbane, mind you. Bouchard went to the semifinals in Sydney. How you think Pospisil and Nestor shape up this tournament?
Well, Pospisil's out already. He lost in the first round of qualifying.
See ya.
So is he not in the doubles?
Got the doubles happening, yeah. His ranking's fallen quite a bit, so he ended up having to play in the qualifying, and he lost to a guy, you know, a guy. And that wasn't the best competitive effort on his part, unfortunately. Raonic is the number 3 seed, and it's just sort of an astonishing thing. I'm still trying to do the math to figure out how he got there. But he's got a pretty good draw. He's got, if anybody's watching on Tuesday when he plays, he's playing a guy named Dustin Brown, who's this Jamaican-German guy with dreadlocks down his back, and who's just flashy and a shot maker and really, really, really fun to watch. And so it should be tricky, but I think he's going to get through. He's the guy who lost the Nadal lottery, with Nadal being the number 9 seed. Mm-hmm. He was going to be an opponent for one of the top 8 guys, but as early as the 4th round, which is early in his plan to face Nadal. And so if he gets there, that'll be either him or possibly Gael Monfils, who I don't think has hit a tennis ball this year. So probably Nadal. And, but he didn't have as good a warm-up tournament as he did last year when he won it, and he beat Federer along the way. But he beat Nadal this year. He's only done that like twice in his career. So he had to come back like less than 24 hours later and play, and he didn't serve very well. So he's going to be fine. I mean, beyond the top 2, I give him the best shot out of all the other guys to win it and maybe pull a big surprise there. But he'd have to get through those top 2 to do it. So that it's a bit of a long shot. As far as Bouchard goes, she she arrived here yesterday. She was out practicing earlier today and didn't look that great, but she's never looked that great in practice anyway. She had a good week. She beat three really, really quality players, and it had been a long time since she's done that. And I don't think she had any expectations coming here because she had a bit of a short off season, and she didn't really feel prepared, but she loves it down here. So she figured she'd just come down and see how it went. And it went all right, you know. So she's got, I would say, a pretty decent draw, like pretty winnable draw for the first few rounds. And so if she can get on a roll with the Jeannie Army behind her, who knows? But she's not my pick to win, let's put it that way.
All right. Raonic and Bouchard, what is a good Australian visit? I mean, Raonic needs to at least give himself, if not his fans, a feeling like it's possible this year to win a Grand Slam. So the two of them, what's good? How far do they have to go so they can leave there and go, all right, it's good?
Well, I happen to think that this is actually Raonic's best shot at a Grand Slam. He's, you know, throughout the year, even more than Wimbledon, even though he made the final there last year. He likes the surface. The heat he seems to handle very well, you know, as well as anybody can. He's playing Tuesday. We're supposed to be like 37 degrees Celsius, so we'll see. So I think a semifinal would be good for him. If everything works out like it is on paper, he would play Djokovic. That's a tough ask in Australia. For Bouchard, I would say getting to the fourth round and maybe playing Angelique Kerber if she gets there would be a very good effort. If Kerber doesn't get there and she can go a little further than that, I would say that would be an outstanding effort.
This is Federer's return to the tour. What are your expectations of him this Australian Open?
You know, I probably have about as few as he does. It's one thing that was really, really clear the last half of last year was that without Nadal and Federer around is a very, very, very different buzz around professional tennis, because these two guys are the two rock stars, all due respect to Djokovic and Andy Murray. And so just having them back here and the people who are going to pile in to watch them practice, and just it changes the whole dynamic. You know, I tell you what, he looks really, really fit. And I was watching him practice yesterday, and he's normally not necessarily a serious practice player. He's like an efficient, let's get it done and get on with our day kind of practice player. And he was pretty intense. And, you know, it's best 3 of 5. He's played almost no tennis. Since that match when Raonic beat him at Wimbledon, he's played no tennis. He played the Hotman Cup, which is sort of this fun mixed country versus country exhibition a couple of weeks ago. And he got he got three good singles matches there, but they certainly weren't, you know, legitimate tournament matches. That's probably a good way to get back into it. But again, 3 out of 5 sets for a guy who has not played any competitive tennis is tough. He's got a really sweet draw, though. He's got a qualifier in the first round, and he's got a qualifier in the second round. So if you wanted to draw it up, I think for his return to big-time tennis, I don't think we could have made it up any better than that.
All right, give us a surprise on each side. Men's and women's, who's playing well enough to outdo where they are in the world?
It's hard to tell because the season's just started. Right. Yeah. A couple of weeks old, so it's kind of early to have a grand slam, but that's how it is.
Yeah.
On the women's side, I don't think Serena's going to win it. If she's playing well and she's in shape, she's better than everybody, but that's always a question mark with her. I don't know, you know, and so I would say that maybe Carolina Pliskova, who made the U.S. Open final and was 5 in the world, she'd probably be my not-so-long shot to win it. I don't think Kerber is going to defend her title, but that's just guessing. On the men's side, the long shots are fewer. And, you know, they're not many. You know, if Juan Martín Del Potro were here, I would give him a shot, maybe, but he's not. And so you basically have the usual suspects. You have Djokovic and Murray, who I think are a level above everybody else. You have Stan Wawrinka, who's won it before. You have Raonic. And other than that, you know, the best 3 out of 5 is so grueling. And because of the length of that format, as opposed to best 2 or 3 that the women play, the better players usually win. Whereas if you're playing two out of three and you win two sets and you have a really, really hot hour, then you can pull off upsets. So, I don't see any huge surprises. But you know what? Who knows? Djokovic is playing Fernando Verdasco in the first round, and Fernando Verdasco doesn't have his number, but he's a good player, and he knows how to beat Djokovic, and he's had his chances before. So, can you imagine Djokovic going out in the first round? I guess it could happen. But it's really, really too soon to tell. I mean, predictions are a fool's game, right? Even though we're all fools.
I'm curious, how's the Australian media treating our friend Kyrgios?
Well, he hasn't, you know, he's not been here. He played a sort of a fun event in Adelaide. I think he's only really arriving today. He's practicing with Bernard Tomic, his buddy, or sometimes buddy, not so buddy, his fellow partner in crime as far as the Aussie media is concerned. I think he's got a knee issue. I don't know how fit he is to try to make a run. But I think that until he does something, quote unquote, everybody wants him to succeed. You know, it would be great to have a guy like Kyrgios at the top of the game. He gets so much attention. His game's so much fun to watch. He's got lots of charisma. And, you know, he's an Aussie. So even if they didn't like him that much, they still want him to do well because it's good for everybody. It's good for Australian tennis. So far, there's really been no Kyrgios buzz, per se. And we'll see what happens. I mean, I imagine he'll have a big stadium night match on Monday. And I guess we'll see what happens then.
Always great talking with you, Steph. Do you have a favorite all-time Australian band?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think Midnight Oil is probably my call. Right.
Ready? AC/DC?
One of my favorites right now, Courtney Barnett.
Okay. This is my favorite. I've always been
a fan. Not bad.
All right. I've always been a fan of INXS. They're my favorite.
Good too. Yeah, good too.
All right. Great talking with the Steph. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the tennis. Enjoy.
All right, Little River Band or the BP?
Little River Band. All right. Good talking with you, Little River Band.
Talk to you later.
All right.
It's like the tennis season doesn't end.
I know. This is double good, this song.
Why?
Because this is Michael Hutchins, and if you listen closely... Oh, you can't hear yet. While we were talking, someone else was singing with. He's doing a duet with... lead singer of the Pretenders.
I can't remember. You know what? I don't think I know. That's more honest.
Were you a fan of Friends?
No, okay. I wasn't a big Friends guy.
She appeared on that show as well.
Chrissy Hynde? No, that's
not. Chrissy Hynde.
Chrissy Hynde, okay. All right.
And she was married to Ray Davies from the Kinks.
The Kinks I like.
Yeah, well, that was her husband.
I didn't know that.
Now you know. I have a question. That maybe our next guest can answer. Offensive coordinator to quarterbacks coach? That is not a step up. Why leave your organization? I'm not happy about this. We'll talk to Daniel Kalis about that. And the four divisional games after Freddie's update coming up in just a moment. This is Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price, CFMB 1280 AM in Montreal.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old orchard pub. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old orchard pub.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
I time to talk some football, and we'll hear from a number of the coaches and proponents. So, getting ready for the divisional series, but we've got Daniel Kalis, who joins us Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Our NFL correspondent, how are you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing all right. I'm looking forward to these games. I think we've got a lot of good matchups. It's going to be a lot of fun games, and I think they're going to be a lot of close games.
All right. Here's what I have on my mind before we get to that. This just in. Well, first of all, the Broncos hired Mike McCoy to run the offense, but they add Bill Musgrave as quarterbacks coach. And now here's the Raiders offensive coordinator moving over to be a quarterbacks coach with Denver. What's the deal with that?
It's an interesting one because there was rumors that there was interest from Buffalo and Cleveland, an interest in him, maybe even to be a higher position. But seems like he wants to stay on the West Coast. With a guy like him who's had, different offense coordinator jobs, it's possible that he's just going to take this job for a year and then look for something better, you know, next year in the offseason. But he gets to work with young quarterbacks on a good team. You know, I don't know his past relationships with the other guys on the team. Mike McCoy is the offense coordinator there now, so maybe he's got a relationship with him. But, you know, it's a good team, and they'll be a contender next year if they can get good quarterback play.
All right, let's go in the order of play, which has changed, right, since they moved the Steelers-Kansas City game to late Sunday night. Seahawks and Falcons. So let's start with Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. Once you win a championship, he says, you always feel like you can win another. Come on, Russell. Not hearing him.
Well, I do agree with that sentiment because you know what it takes to win.
Why am I not hearing Russell Wilson? It's up. I don't know why it's not playing. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, I mean, it's, you know, just a party line that he could say that, but the truth is like we say, a lot of the questions we'll get to a bit, you know, later with Dak Prescott is the playoffs are a different ballgame, and so guys, you know, you never know how a guy's going to do when they get to the playoffs. Guys have had success as a rookie, but, you know, once you've won it, you know what it takes. You know exactly how far you have to go to get to that Super Bowl, to get over the hump of these games. And I think it does help guys, you know, to get there again. That's why in the AFC, there's been three quarterbacks who've been there, 12 out of the last 13 years? I think it's been, you know, between three quarterbacks. So, yeah, having experience does help.
We prodded Russell Wilson. That didn't work. So we brought out the cattle prod, and that did work.
You can basically get down when you lose a game. Sometimes, you know, that's your initial thought for most people. And for me, I was just thinking about, you know, the opportunity. I was thinking about what was next for our football team. And I believe that we could go win the Super Bowl the next year and find a way. You know, and so with the players that we've had and the character of guys that we've had over the past 5 years and the work ethic and the conviction that we play with week in and week out, you know, it's been a great ride so far. And so we take one day at a time. We've always enjoyed every game, every process, every practice, every meeting. And so I think that's why we've been successful over the past 5 years. That determination, that mindset, that championship caliber of mindset, I think that's crucial. You know, I think that's why we've been able to have great comebacks. The game's never over. That's why we've been able to stay ahead of people and try to stay ahead. And so I think that's, you know, when you have that mindset, that championship mindset, a lot of great things happen and a lot of wins and championships happen.
All right, so Seattle and Atlanta, and we talked yesterday about the guys with the most pressure on them. Certainly Matt Ryan has to fit in there. Here's a guy who's had an MVP-type season in being one of the major reasons the team finished up 11-5, started off well, continued on, made the playoffs. Now they got a home game, and they can't be one and done.
No, most definitely not. They had a couple runs a couple years ago where they had a chance to go to, you know, to be a Super Bowl contender, and then they had a downturn, and now they're back. And I think he has the best running game he's had since he's had, you know, been in Atlanta. So that's going to help him out a lot. They got Julio Jones, and I think you know, when Grant said yesterday, you know, who's the player who's got a lot of sort of going to make a difference. I think a player who's not playing to make the difference is, I think this game with the big offense in Atlanta, we'll see how much of an effect not having Earl Thomas hurt Seattle.
All right, Houston and New England. No one's given Houston a 2-touchdown chance. Here's defensive coordinator Romeo Crennel on getting after Brady.
Well, I think if you can get to any quarterback, you impact them. Yeah, you know, some are harder to get to than others, and he's not playing as long as he has with as much success as he's had because people have been getting to him a lot, you know. So you have to pick and choose your spots and try to impact him at some point during the game. Well, I think a lot of quarterbacks, if you can get internal rush, you impact them because they're not able to step up in the pocket and deliver the ball. And I don't think Brady is any different as far as that goes. So if you can get internal pressure, I think that can be helpful. But external pressure, if you can get him on the ground, is helpful too.
I've said it before, I'll say it again, I am a bad man. My plan in this game as Houston's defensive coordinator is to knock Brady out of the game. That's my plan.
I would agree. As we said, the only way to beat the Patriots is you got to hit Brady and you got to knock him off his game, knock him off his line, knock him off his game. The problem is, even if you did that in this game, Brady didn't play when they played in week 3. They had third-string quarterback Jacoby Brissett, and they still won 27-0.
Yeah, I'd like to see that with the third.
Probably hurt the Patriots for the next week. Yeah. I still think they would win the game.
All right, I'm knocking out all the quarterbacks, but I tell you what, let's see the third-string quarterback come up victorious in a. It's not the same animal, I think.
Agreed.
There was planning for Brady to play in this game. When he had those other guys, they had a game plan around the guys that ended up replacing him. And sure, I agree with you. I think that they would still win, but let's keep in mind, Houston is the number one defense in the National Football League, and we'll see.
Hey, defense. I'm always going to go. You know, defense is what you want to have. That's what they got to do. They got to hit him and they got to get him off his game early. And that's the way to get to Brady. You got to make him try to move out of the pocket, which he won't do well. And let's see their number one defense. Cornell knows the Patriots. He knows them well. He knows Brady. We'll see what that could do for them.
What about the potential loss of LeGarrette Blount for this game? There was reports that he's sick. He's missed practice. How would that affect the Patriots?
He'll play.
I think in the end, I do agree with that. I think he'll play. Look, by the end of the season, they were really, really into the Deion Lewis coming, running, you know, doing a lot more of the running. So I think that they will be very comfortable that, yes, right on the goal line, he's almost unstoppable. You know, the 1 or 2 yard line, which you want to make sure. We've seen a lot of times teams just don't punch it in. He punches it in. I think he'll play, but at the end of the day, I don't think that it's going to make much of a difference because I think they're going to use Deion Lewis a lot because they're going to want to use his speed to get outside.
I just want to say I'm cheering for New England this game. That's all.
I'm with you.
Thank you.
What?
Yeah. I like.
What is that? What are you cheering for? Why are you cheering for New England? Freddie, be quiet for a minute.
Why am I cheering for New England?
I believe that was the question.
I'm a Michigan fan from college, so I've always liked Brady.
Shoot me now.
I like Belichick back from his Giants days. And as a hockey guy, I could say we've beaten them twice in the Super Bowl, so it doesn't really bother me.
Oh, great. That's a Dan Kalis football hat trick right there. All right. Dallas and Green Bay. What is the biggest selling point for the Dallas Cowboys? Coach Jason Garrett knows.
We certainly like our offensive line. And, you know, one of the things we've tried to do is build a team that's physical and wins the line of scrimmage. And when you do that, it really helps everybody. It allows the skilled players to flourish. So it starts up front. It's always started up front. The best teams in this league since the beginning of time have been good on the offense and defensive lines. So we recognize how important that is, and it certainly helps the skilled players play to their optimum.
No doubt about it, that's got to work for the Dallas Cowboys. That's what will take the pressure off Dak Prescott, because if the offensive line doesn't open up holes and doesn't protect the quarterback, Dallas won't win.
Oh, most definitely, but that's been the story all year for them, and that's what they're going to try to use. They're going to try to use that big, powerful offensive line, get Zeke Elliott going, turn that clock, get that, you know, they want to own the clock. They want to have their defense on the field for the least amount of time. They do not want to give Aaron Rodgers chances. And as much as Dak Prescott has been great this year, they don't want it to be in his end. Let Zeke run all day behind that line.
So here we are, right? Dallas with, lead at just before the half. And Aaron Rodgers has the ball around midfield. Come on. This can't keep happening.
I mean, it's just a weird thing. It happened last year, you know, in the playoffs, that other Thursday night game. I agree. I just don't see how it can keep happening. You've got to think that teams are going to try to learn from it. Who knows if they'll even be in that position. I mean, last week, if that tight end catches the ball, the whole situation doesn't happen. So I don't think we're going to see it 2 weeks in a row. I'm not a Cowboys fan, so if it happened this week, I'd be cheering for it.
All right. And I think this... this is the game of the weekend, and now it will end up closing the weekend. Pittsburgh in Kansas City, and Kansas City with the better defense here. Todd Haley, the offensive coordinator of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, they got Eric Berry, who's one of the best in the game. You know, great range, great ball skills, a tough safety in the run game, obviously, covers a lot of ground. And then Peters, you know, one of the better ball hawks there is. I mean, just tremendous ball skills, tremendous feel for the game. So when you got a couple guys like that, you know, you got to be careful with what you're doing. Well, they got a lot of different players inside. You know, they lost Derek Johnson, obviously one of the great players in the league. But you know, some of their D linemen, you know, are different than what we saw. But they still got the core. You know, Houston, I expect to see Tomba. Steve Ford, Peters, and Eric Berry, like I said. They're just playing good, sound defense.
What a noisy team they are. Todd Haley, offensive coordinator of the Steelers. How do they stop this Pittsburgh offense and Le'Veon Bell?
He mentioned the loss of Derek Johnson. That hurt Kansas City's run defense. He was talking about the other guys are, Barry and Peters good in pass protection. But I think that's going to be the big problem because I watched, the whole game last week. I don't normally watch a whole Pittsburgh Steelers game, but Le'Veon Bell was just this footwork. He's so patient behind the holes. He is unbelievable, and that's what I think is their benefit, is they can do the run, and if they get behind, they can also pass the ball. I just think they're going to score too much against Kansas City's defense. As much as Kansas City's defense is good, I don't think they're going to be able to hold them up all game, and I don't see Alex Smith being able to make the plays down the line when they need to.
All right. Give me some winners here. Four games. Let's go, boys. Who we have? Let's start with game one, Seattle-Atlanta. Dan, who you got?
I'm going to go with Seattle.
I'm going to go with Atlanta.
I'm going Seattle.
All right, two Seattles and an Atlanta. I'll pick first in the Texans-Patriots game. I'm going to go Patriots. All right.
That's a real shocker. I think I'll take them as well.
Me right. Too.
Packers-Cowboys. Go ahead, Freddie.
I'm going to go Packers because I want to see Grant's face on Monday.
All right. What do you got?
I'm with him. I wish I could. I'll come into the office and see Grant's face, but I just think Rodgers is in his zone right now, and I'm just not sure what's going to stop him.
I got Cowboys. Let's see. Steelers and Kansas City Sunday night game. This should be a real barn burner. I'm going to take, as I said yesterday, I'm going to take Pittsburgh to go to Kansas City and win the game. Kansas City, with a history of not winning when you need to win, I think that continues.
I second that, basically everything that I said. I agree. I think it will be a good and close game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun game to watch Sunday night, but I'm with Pittsburgh.
And I'm taking the Chiefs. With Roethlisberger's injury, I feel it's the time that Smith can take him to the promised land.
What, they're going to win the Super Bowl?
Conference final.
That's not the promised land. New England is not the promised land. All right, Daniel, enjoy. I wish the two of us were enjoying this weekend more than we're going to. But the Giants and the Raiders are gone. As always, next year, bud. Enjoy the football.
Thank you. You guys, too. Have a good weekend. We'll be back at this next week.
All right. So, there you go. Should be a lot of fun.
Yep.
See if I can't squeeze in two kids' basketball games somewhere in between.
It's going to be a busy weekend for you.
Yeah, busy weekend. What do we got? Let's see here. 4:35 for Seattle and Atlanta. And 8:15, Texas and New England. That's the late Saturday game. And now they've moved Kansas City and Pittsburgh to late. I'm okay with that.
How do you think that field's going to hold up, given that they're calling for an ice storm or whatever?
Oh, who cares?
It could make for some interesting football.
It'll be what it is.
Nah, fair enough.
I wish that the Green Bay-Dallas game was in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Kansas City, Pittsburgh, doesn't matter. It should be crappy weather in both places. That's the way it ought to be.
I agree.
It's January. Man. I think that if you're a really good team, and then you are the best team that there is, and you're in a northern climb, lose. Go somewhere warm. It's like a vacation, right? All right. What else do we have for you tonight? The interview with Toronto Blue Jays CEO and president, Mark Shapiro. And I know we can squeeze it in tonight. Ilya Bryzgalov. You loved him, and now you'll love him even more. Answering questions that were sent to him that he responded on the Players Tribune. All right, so that's coming up. You don't want to miss that. Sportsnet tonight, I'm Elliot Price.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free.
Price. Is anybody listening? I'm emotional.
Price. Holy cow.
That's baloney.
Leah.
Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price.
Ding, ding, ding.
Elliot Price.
C'est une déception.
Elliot Price.
I'm listening.
Elliot Price.
Saludos, my friends, and you know who you are. You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with your host,
Elliot Price.
Ding, ding, ding.
Actually, this music was for Jonah Carey, and we never got through the interview last night. We got hit by a power failure and never finished the show. So there was no podcast for you today. We got two-thirds of the way through the interview, and we never got to ask him about the possibility of being the guy to introduce Reigns at the Hall of Fame. Because right now, as of noontime today, Tim Raines was running at 91%, with 46% of the vote in. So unless they're going to vote less than 60% on him the rest of the way, Tim Raines is a shoo-in.
Right.
As far as the rest of the guys are concerned, right now it's looking like Raines and Bagwell. Pudge is at 79.8, Yvonne Rodriguez, but that's all of this is likely to drop. Trevor Hoffman, they tell us, is likely to rise. So, and we don't know about Vlad, because he's never been on the ballot before, and he is 74.7. So he needs 75, so he's going to come in somewhere around the number. But looks like Rock, and it's a week from today, I think. And, hey, he better come on with us. That's all I got to say. So I'll try to get in touch with him this week and see what we can do. Tim Raines, he's surefire Hall of Fame this year, and good on him. He deserves to be there. He deserves to have been there.
Have you ever been to Cooperstown?
I have not. But we would go. We would go this year. We would go. All right, there you go. More baseball coming up after Freddie's update. We'll check in with the CEO and the president of the Toronto Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro. He talked with Blair and Brunt on The Blair Show in Toronto at 590 The Fan. And a lot of interesting things. What went down with Edwin Encarnacion? Are they still in on Batista? How are they going to fill the bullpen? And a whole lot more. That's next. Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. You're listening to CFMB 1280 AM Montreal.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub. Ye olde Ochipo. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub. Ye olde.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Elliot Price.
Crazy fool.
Elliot Price.
We're doomed.
Elliot Price.
Illogical.
Elliot Price.
Weeknights at 8.
All right, time now, as we promised, the president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays, Mark Shapiro, in conversation with Jeff Blair and Stephen Brunt earlier today on The Fan in Toronto. And, you know, there's all this hue and outcry from Blue Jay fans about what the team looks like now. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter what the team looks like now.
It's unusual for an offseason to take this long to play out. But, you know, I would encourage you to not conclude the body of work is done. And one of the hardest things in your jobs and for a fan is to we're not playing games right now. You know, I went through it firsthand last year on a personal level, and so you've got to evaluate kind of what's going on both around, you know, from our competitors and, you know, what's being reported on every day, which is probably there's only a partial truth in every one of those reports, and you've got to kind of try to draw conclusions along the way. And the reality is that, you know, we're still 5 weeks away from, you know, saying that we're heading to spring training and we're getting ready to actually go. And in that short period of time, there's still a lot that's going to be done, you know, with the Toronto Blue Jays before we're a finished team.
Are the options still out there, Mark, to accomplish, you know, as what Jeff just laid out, the idea of this more, you know, again, more versatile, maybe less left-handed, more athletic kind of team?
So I would say probably not on every level. There's certainly some options, and I think, listen, you want to check boxes, but, you know, just signing left-handed hitters, if they're not the best hitter out there, probably doesn't make sense. So, and we're, you know, what I would say along those lines is, Stephen, that we're still balancing, you know, that getting younger certainly is something that we can't accomplish quickly. You and I have had these conversations historically. Getting younger is something that's going to take a combination of both some individual transactions and just time, that as we begin to manage our roster over an extended period of time, and as we do have options, we can get younger just by bringing young players up. But we want to bring young championship caliber players up that allow us to field contending ball clubs. And, you know, the reality of our system is that's going to take time. We're just not there right now. We have, you know, a guy here, a guy there now, but we need to, you know, field teams at both, you know, in New Hampshire and in Buffalo that are full of players that, you know, we think have a chance to be championship caliber players. And when we have, you know, multitudes of players there, then the reality is that there will be, you know, some players that are even better than we think, and some will probably not be as good, but we'll be able to, you know, year in and year out, fill a sustainable championship team. Until that happens, you know, the approach we take with our off season is going to be a little bit of just trying to piece it together and do the best we can to fill the championship team around, you know, an aging core.
Mark, I'm going to ask, I mean, there have been a lot of reports that you've kept in contact with Michael Saunders and certainly Jose Bautista this after an offseason in which Edwin signed with Cleveland. I'm going to ask you kind of a two-parter here. First of all, anything you would have done differently with Edwin this offseason, in terms of the approach you took? And secondly, where do things stand with Jose Bautista right now? Has there been any significant move one way or another, or is it kind of where it was, you know, a month ago?
Yeah. Well, let me talk about the Edwin piece first. You know, and again, I would say if you go through life and you ask anyone a question, okay, you have all the information now, anything you'd do differently, who wouldn't answer that differently, Jeff?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fair.
So I'm not sure that that's a fair question asked like that. I think there's not an expert, there's not an agent, and there's not a team that thought the market would go the way it did. Certainly not Edwin's agent.
Okay.
And certainly not Edwin. And so, at the time we talked to Edwin, 2 weeks after we'd made that offer to Edwin, 3 weeks after we made that offer to Edwin, a month after we made that offer to Edwin, he still thought he was going to get far more dollars than what we offered, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
What we offered, far
yes.
more.
I know.
And he ended up signing for less than what we offered. That's unfortunate for us. And to some extent, although he's in a great situation and a great place, and I'm sure he's going to be very happy, somewhat unfortunate for him. And it's circumstance and situation that, you know, no one could have forecasted. So, yes, we could have gambled. We could have waited, you know, and I guess in hindsight, you know, with giving me all the information now, if we knew it was going to do this, that's kind of a silly question. Absolutely.
Sure it is.
We would have done it differently, but we didn't have all the information, and I think it was important for us to have a plan. And as you negotiate, you know, it's always important to both have walkaways and have alternatives. And if you don't have those two things, you're not going to have a successful outcome. And so we went to an alternative, which didn't close the door on Edwin, but made it more limited to what we could do in signing him. So does that address the Edwin situation clearly?
Yeah, I think it does. I think you're right. It was a market that I don't think anybody saw it coming. What are we here? January 13th. We've still got both. We've got Chris Carter sitting out there, Mark Trumbo, Jose Bautista.
Yeah, Mark Trumbo, 47 homers. I mean, yeah. You know, it's not. Believe me, there's not. Maybe Edwin's situation played out more publicly, both because of the players, the people that were involved, and the market here. But Mark Trumbo's situation is very similar.
And about Jose, has there been any movement there?
No, I mean, I would just say that, you know, we clearly need a corner outfielder, right? And Jose is probably the most talented one out there as far as offensive production goes and pedigree and track record. And then on top of that, he's got a premium in this marketplace because of, you know, what he's meant to this franchise over the last 8 seasons and who he is in this market and the impact he's made in the community here. So you take all those things up, and for me not to say he would be a good alternative for us for next year would be a mistake. So I mean, I think he's among the alternatives. He's certainly, if not the best, one of the best.
How do you think there's a possibility with Jose, Mark? We've seen it a couple of times. It happened with Stephen Drew. It happened with Kendrys Morales in a different incarnation, where guys ended up signing after the draft, and that draft pick compensation disappeared. Is that something that you think is possible with Jose? Is that something that you have to calculate in terms of the desirability of bringing him back? Where, you know, if you're going to lose the draft, if you're not going to get the draft pick compensation, do you have to kind of factor that into your calculations?
I don't think so. I think at his age, where he is in his career, for him to sit out, you know, for 3 months, again, that's you really need to talk to him about that, not us. But it's not a scenario that we have factored in. That draft pick is meaningful. It's material. It has real value. But at the same time, so does bringing back Jose and what he could both contribute offensively and what he means to the community here.
Mark, one of the other, I guess, areas of concern going into the offseason was the bullpen, trying to address that. That would appear to be an area where I'm going to use the word slow play the market. I don't know if that's necessarily accurate, but that would appear to be an area where you could do some, you know, find some value. How confident are you that when spring training rolls around, that, you know, you'll have enough candidates to fill those various positions and be comfortable enough that you may not have to make an in-season move to address specifically the left-handed reliever slot?
Well, I would say this, you know, as the off-season unfolded, what was quickly apparent, and whether that's, you know, the industry reacting to Kansas City and Cleveland's postseason success over the past 2 years, or whether that's just the reality that bullpen, that wins are still the cheapest to buy, you know, from the bullpen, it quickly became clear that there was not a lot of value in the bullpen marketplace. Mm-hmm. Whether it was just, you know, Brett Cecil signing for what he signed for, or other deals that were getting done, that there was a lot of hurry and rush and demand after the bullpen guys. So we really felt like the way to impact our team was where there was a more robust and more depth of talent, and that was in the outfield and in the corner players in the market. And so we made a decision at that point that's still fluid, that we're going to look to impact the team in a way they can bring the most wins, not necessarily fill holes, mm-hmm. the most wins. And we still feel like there are some good options out there in the bullpen. We'll probably have to work budgetarily off of what we decide to do in the outfield and where we spend and how much we spend on the outfield. So that will impact what we have and what we're able to do in the bullpen. And then secondarily on the bullpen, I would say this to you, that it's the most unpredictable. It's the most year-to-year erratic from a planning perspective. Every single year there are guys that people count on to be contributors out of the bullpen who do not. And there are guys who end up impacting in a major way, such as, you know, Biagini, that no one even has heard of or expects, you know, prior to starting the year. So I look at bullpen construction as something that is fluid. You walk into spring training thinking your bullpen's set, and we certainly felt very good last year. And then we looked up, and I think everybody did, go back and read what was being written about the bullpen last year. And we certainly found out the reality was not, what we thought planning. And we made adjustments, and Ross did an unbelievable job on the fly of adding, guys that really impacted, and Gorilli and Benoit. So again, I would think yes, we will add bullpen pieces before the off season's over. But I would also still expect the bullpen to be an area that will be a constant area of adjustment. And I do think we've got some power arms and both internally here and some people that may impact that we're not even expecting right now.
There you have the president and the CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. Interesting. Because this week, the opinions have been all over the place. Yep. As far as Jose Bautista is concerned, I think he's going back. I think they don't have a choice. Although there are some other people out there. And again, as we started this thing off, it's not April. Okay, it's January. They still have 3 months to work this out, and you don't have to have your opening day lineup today. You know what you have to have? You have to have questions ready.
What do you mean?
For Ilya Brizgalov.
I'm excited for this.
I am too. This is good, but I've already heard it. So I'm excited, and I've heard it. All right. From the Players Tribune, normally, right, these guys write, air quotes, because, they have people that help them write these stories, right? And they're some of the best, it's some of the best writing that's done online right now, the sports guys telling their stories. But they did something different here. Because you got to hear Brizgalov, right? So people send in questions, and he answered them, and you'll get to hear some of that coming up next.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Oh, but these blues will leave me alone.